a series called The Counselor, and throughout Jesus' ministry, he asked over 100 questions. He asked over 100 questions to people that he was ministering to, or to people that would even were trying to find fault in what he had to say or what he had to do. And we're going to look at four of them over the next 4 weeks. We're going to through four of his questions. Next week, we're going to be talking about, for those of us that are in the middle of a storm, in the middle of something that is kind of a rough time, and the question we're going to ask is, that Jesus asked, is, why are you so afraid? He asked the same questions to his disciples in the middle of a storm, and we're going to answer that question. Why are you so afraid? The third week, we're going to be addressing people that have an ongoing issue, an ongoing trouble, an addiction, a physical challenge, something that's lasting, not temporary. And the question he asked, Jesus posed in this word is, do you want to be well? The last week, we're going to talk about doubts. And Jesus asked the very pointed question, why do you doubt? We're going to talk about spiritual doubts and how that affects us. But today I want to talk to anyone who needs a special touch from God. A miracle in their life. Something that is too big to handle on our own. Something that only God, only the divine could intervene in. And the question we're going to examine today is that Jesus asked blind men, as you saw in our little preview, he asked them, do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can do this? This whole sermon series is about faith, is about trusting God. And I think on our Wednesday night Bible study this past week, Aaron Lipless said that a lot of the issues that we discussed throughout all the 7-8 weeks of follow came down to faith and what we believe and how much we believe. And so I think this series is an appropriate follow-up to that in saying, assessing what faith we have and really putting our trust in God. So our passage today comes from Matthew chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there this morning. As always, the verses will be on the screen. But I want to give you a little bit of context. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to be looking at verses 27 to 30. However, right before that, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. He was teaching and preaching and instructing the people how to live and how they can expect the kingdom of God. And a synagogue leader, one of the Pharisees or Sadducees, someone who worked in the church, those who we typically see as a very negative presence in the Gospels, fell at his feet and said, Lord, my daughter died. He said, come heal her. And so Jesus was walking to the house of the synagogue leader. He went with them and he came to the house and he said, your daughter is not dead. She is just asleep. People laughed at Jesus. Okay, he's crazy. She is surely dead. The doctors have come in and confirmed it. And Jesus said, no, she is not dead. She is merely sleeping. He lays his hands upon the girl and she wakes back up from the dead. He rose this little girl from the dead and news spread like wildfire. News spread like wildfire because nothing like this had ever happened before. This was something that was surely the work of a powerful God. And the news spread. Well, some of the people that heard this news were these blind men. These blind guys were sitting along the side of the road and they say, oh, I want a piece of that. I want some of that healing too. I'm blind. Surely if you can raise a dead person to life, you could heal my eyes. And so we'll go to our passage today. Verse 27, Jesus says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. Now, what's interesting about that word, that phrase, calling out, it's actually the Greek word krazo. Say krazo. Krazo, and it's the word for the sound a woman makes in childbirth. So this wasn't just, hey, Jesus, come here. These guys were screaming at the top of their lungs. They were impassionate. They couldn't hold back. They were giving it everything they had, and they were saying, Jesus! They were screaming. I don't want to scream because I have a microphone, but you understand. They were screaming at the top of the lung, the same volume a woman makes in childbirth, this strained groaning. It was something from deep within inside of them. It also shows in our passage here that they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He said, have mercy on us, son of David. That word, son of David, is something that was only referred to in Old Testament prophecy as the coming Messiah. And so calling him the son of David, they realized and recognized, these blind men, that this guy was legit. He was who he said he was. He was the coming Messiah. They understood that and they knew that. Let's read on. Verse 28 says, when Jesus had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Jesus didn't say, according to your social standing. He didn't say, according to your income, according to your references. I have a list of references here, and they all say you're a pretty upstanding man. Absolutely, I will heal you. Jesus didn't look at their resume first, okay? He didn't say, according to their good works. He said, according to their, what? Their faith. According to their faith, they were made well. They were healed. And this is encouraging and could be confusing as well. It's encouraging because God responds to faith. It shows us right here and so many other times in Scripture, Jesus responds to people's faith. The faith of the centurion, who had even greater faith than this synagogue leader, this Jew, because he said, you don't even have to come to my house. He said, I believe that you have authority over death, over life itself. And Jesus, you can speak the words right now and my daughter will be healed. Even greater faith. And because of his faith, Jesus said, your daughter was made, well, your servant, excuse me, is healed. Because of the faith of this, because of the faith of the synagogue worker, his daughter was made well. And because of the faith of the woman who had the issue with blood, she was made well when she touched his cloak. Because of the faith of these blind men here, their eyes were restored. The Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. God loves our faith. He loves when we believe in faith. But in our story, as our story shows us, excuse me, if we have faith, we can move the heart of God. God responds when we have faith. But oftentimes, a lot of people can get discouraged by this as well. Because a lot of times you hear, the reason God didn't do it is because you had a lack of faith. How many of you ever heard that before? Okay? Well, it didn't happen because you had a lack of faith. It's funny that when God does something, God gets the credit. But when God doesn't do something, we get the blame. Oftentimes when God does something, he always gets the credit. Oh, God has blessed us with this. But when God doesn't do something, we get the blame. It's our fault for not doing things enough. You didn't pray right. You didn't have enough faith. You didn't pray long enough. You didn't pray hard enough. You didn't pray the right sign off. You prayed in Jesus' name. You need to pray the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You weren't shouting when you prayed. You weren't binding up the devil when you prayed. You weren't dancing in a circle and raising your right arm to heaven when you prayed. I hope no one's ever heard that before. But still, whatever the idea is, you didn't have enough faith. Something, it was on us. The burden of this healing or not is on us. And that's not true. Sometimes it's just God's will. The man who was born blind, the disciples asked him, whose sin caused this man to be blind? And God said, no one's, neither his parents nor his. He said, he was born blind to show God's glory in this healing. God allowed that man to become blind for however long he was, for his whole life, and then he healed him to show God's awesome power. We don't understand it. Job didn't understand it when the worst calamities befell him and his household. But then God puts him in his place in Job 38 and says, "Were you there when I made the earth? Were you there when I created everything?" You see, Job didn't have a leg to stand on when it came to complaining to God, because God knew better than him. God had put it into place. God had understood it. God had done it for his purpose and his reasons, and we don't have to understand it. Sometimes that's the first thing. We need to acknowledge, I don't understand this, and that's okay. That's what faith is all about. But today, as in our story, we're talking about faith and the faith that moves the heart of God. Because God says we need to have faith. He desires faith. If we don't have faith, we cannot please him. So we need to say, well, then what kind of faith do we have to have? What should our faith look like? And what does it make a difference? In our story today, in so many examples, our faith moves the heart of God. So the question, the big question we're going to answer today is, what kind of faith does God honor? What kind of faith does God honor? The first type of faith is a faith that believes when it doesn't see. A kind of faith that believes when it doesn't see. Hebrews 11:1 in the New Living Translation says, "Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see." The confidence that what we hope for, will actually happen. It gives us assurance. We are sure of the things that we can't even see. In verse 28 in our passage, Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" The question on which our message is built today. And they replied, "Yes, Lord," before the results were even seen. In verse 28, before the results were even seen, Jesus said, he was just walking around and he asked them, "Do you believe I can do this?" Before he had done anything to them, before he had spoken any words over them, before he had prayed for them, he said, "Do you believe it?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." Do you believe that he can heal your marriage today? Do you believe that you can have a miracle in your body? Do you believe you can be healed from past hurts? Do you believe that he can help your children? He can help you. Do you believe that he can help you forgive? Do you believe that he can help you conceive a child? Do you believe that God is able to hear your prayer? And that he is able to answer on your behalf? Do you believe that all things are possible with God? Do you believe this morning that he is able? How many of you have ever heard the phrase, "All we can do now is pray"? How many of you say, "All we can do now is pray"? You see, our prayers tell us, show us a sign of where our faith is at. Our prayers reveal to us where our faith is at. Because if you're using prayer as a last resort, well, we've tried everything else, all we can do now is pray, then your faith is probably not that strong. Now, I know it's a common phrase, and it is often used very just thrown aside. But this idea, it really signifies where our faith, where our trust is at. All we can do now is pray. God says, "Uh-oh, you're down to me. I guess you really are in trouble," right? No, he wants you to rely on him from the very beginning. The first thing that we need to do is pray. Question to you this morning. What have you been praying hard for every single day for the last 7 days? What have you been praying hard for the last 7 days? What is something that you can come before the heavenlies with and pray hard for? Because the size of our request reveals oftentimes the size of our faith. If you're not praying, if you answer that question, "I don't know what I've been praying for," maybe your faith is very small or non-existent. Maybe you don't believe that prayer is effective, because if we believe that prayer works, as we looked at our poll we took last week, then why would we not? Why would we not pray? If there was something that we were handed, a tool that God gives us, and he said, this really works, wouldn't you use it? If why are we not praying? Maybe it's because we don't believe it's really doing anything. Maybe we only find ourselves praying small prayers. God bless this food. Good God, good gravy. Wait, good God, good meat, good gravy, let's eat. Bless this food. Maybe that's the only prayer that we pray on a regular basis. Maybe we only pray for traveling mercies. Those are good things to pray, and I believe we should bless our food. But if that's all you're praying for, you're never stretching that prayer muscle, your faith muscle, and believing on something greater, something bigger, where is your faith really at? What are your big prayers that take faith? What are your big prayers that you can't do on your own, that aren't usual? Is there a chance that you're going to get sick from your food? Is that why you're blessing it? Is that your big faith moment? I guess it depends who's cooking, right? But what is the big prayers in your life? I encourage all of us to have a big prayer. Something that really challenges our faith. Many times our prayers are twofold. They're to challenge God in a way. God, do this thing. I believe in you. But they also challenge us. Our prayers challenge us to say, do you really believe this? Do you have the faith to believe it? Many times, if you feel like I don't have the faith to believe it, you know, he says, help my doubts, right, in the Bible? Many times, if we continue to pray things, even though we don't fully believe it, if we're praying it by faith, God will change our hearts and we'll say, all right, we really do believe it now. I really believe God can do this mighty miracle. But many of our prayer lives don't reflect that we believe. See, God honors a faith that believes what it doesn't see. When the miracle is too hard to visualize, too hard to grasp, he honors a faith that believes when it doesn't see. Secondly, God honors a faith that persists when nothing changes. He honors a faith that persists when nothing changes. Matthew 9:28a, in the beginning of our passage today, it says, when Jesus had gone indoors, the blind men came to him. Jesus did what? The men were just standing outside screaming at the top of their lungs. They were screaming at the top of their lungs for Jesus to heal them, and Jesus walked right by them. He walked right past them, and he went inside. Jesus didn't answer them immediately. Jesus could have walked by them, waved his hand, and their blindness could have been healed. But Jesus walked right past them, went inside a house. I'm sure there was a crowd of people that were following, at least 12 guys, I know that, okay? And these guys were still standing outside, Jesus, Jesus, heal us! He walked right past them. How rude, right? He walked right past them, but the blind guys, they persisted. They persisted. He said, we're going to stick with him. We're going to follow after Jesus, even if he tells us to go away. We're going to persist after him. We're going to follow where he's going because we know this guy is the real deal. You see, their faith matched their actions. They said, we believe that Jesus is the real deal. We believe that he can really bring healing. And so we're going to follow after him. Even though he's indoors, even though there may be a crowd of people in there with him, we're going to come after him. Even though he didn't heal us right away when we asked, we're going to follow after him anyway because we believe that he is who he says he is. Colossians 4:2, in the Good News Translation says, be persistent in prayer and keep alert as you pray, giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God. Well, if you're persistent, that means you had to keep asking. If you're persistent in prayer, that means it didn't happen when you prayed about it one time, right? You have to keep at it day after day. And as you're persistent here in Colossians, it says giving thanks to God. We need to give thanks to God even though nothing has happened yet. We need to rejoice in who He is as we are persistent. Devote ourselves to prayer. Be diligent to pray on a regular basis. God honors a faith that prays and that seeks Him even though nothing changes right away. God honors a faith that persists when nothing changes. That doesn't mean you'll have times of doubt. That doesn't mean that our human nature will threaten to take over and we'll say, you know, this stinks. I can't do this anymore. Luke 18 tells this parable of the persistent widow. She wanted to receive justice from this judge. He had given her a raw deal in court. He had given her a selfish judgment. And she came back to him and she cried out to him as he was sleeping in his house all night long. And finally he said, basically, I just wanted to shut up. And so he gave her what she wanted. Jesus says, how much more will our Father in heaven give you what you seek when it lines up with His will? When we persistently pray, when we come back to Him, this idea is spout throughout the Gospels. We can't just pray once and expect God to do it right then. Well, okay, we should expect God to do it, but God doesn't necessarily work, pray once and done. Persistency is often required, and it is encouraged. God blesses, He honors a faith that persists even when nothing changes. Bill Hybels tells a story of a woman who is crying after baptism. There was baptism weekend at their church, and there was an older lady in her 70s, and she was baptized that day. It was a huge celebration. Her daughter had been attending or had attended the baptism with her. And it was neat to see someone later in life come to find faith in Christ and want to display that in baptism. After the service, Pastor Bill was walking out and he saw the daughter crying uncontrollably. He looked at you and he said, why are you so upset? Today was a great day. You just baptized your mom. She was visibly moved with emotion, still sobbing, and said, you don't understand. For 22 years, I prayed for her and I almost stopped. More times than you could count. After 2 years, I thought, this isn't working, this is stupid. Why am I still praying? After 5 years in, this little voice started saying to me, God doesn't care. God's not listening to you. God could never reach her. At 10 years, the voice was shouting, she continued. At 15 years, I thought, this is useless. Why bother? At 20 years, she thought, is there even a God? I'm praying for her to come to know Him, and there is no result. And then she said, here we are 22 years later, and I almost stopped praying. Here we are 22 years later, and I almost stopped praying. If she would have stopped when that voice got louder, if she would have stopped 15 years later, who knows what the result would be? Because she persisted, God blessed her request. He honored it. And her 70-year-old mom found Jesus Christ. Daniel fasted for 21 days before he received the apocalyptic visions that God gave him. We wouldn't have those visions if he fasted for 20 days or 18. If he got distracted after 19. Come on, those who fasted before. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. He persisted for those 21 days, and only after those 3 weeks, God blessed him with the visions that He gave him. Don't give up now. Don't stop praying. Your miracle could almost be here. I don't know, you don't know, but God knows. And He wants you to persist, to not give up. The third faith that honors God and that He honors in return is a faith that works when it doesn't make sense. There's a difference this morning between hope and faith. There's a difference between hope and faith. Hope is a desire. Hope is a desire that you have inside of you. But faith is a demonstration. Hope is just this inward desire. Faith is a demonstration that moves, it acts, it works. There are actions that accompany your faith. When we have faith to believe in something, we should take steps, we should take actions that back that up. Abraham offered Isaac. God called Abraham and said, I want you to take your only son, your firstborn, take him up the mountain and sacrifice him on an altar. And Abraham said, you're God, you know what's best, I'm going to do it. He took Isaac, they hiked together. Isaac carried the firewood that was designed for his own death. They marched up this mountain and marched and marched and finally said, all right, we're going to make a sacrifice. Abraham started constructing the altar, piling rocks and wood and dousing it with oil so that it would burn. And Isaac was like, hey, Dad, where's the animal for the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide. Little did he know he was set to be on that altar. Abraham put him on the altar, raised his knife to take his own son's life, and through tears he heard God's voice saying, stop. It was not his plan all along for him to sacrifice his son, but so that Abraham's faith would be tested. And this is what James, this beautiful thing that James says in the New Testament about Abraham's faith. In James 2:22, James says, you see that Abraham's faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what? What he did. Say that with me. What he did. Abraham had the faith to believe God, to trust him, even at the expense of his only son, his greatest possession, the thing God had blessed him with the most, his son. God, Abram said, I was willing to lay that down for you. But the action, him actually doing it, is what sealed the deal. God responds when we take actions that are born out of faith. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. This whole thing that God told him didn't make sense. I'm going to bless you with a son. Your descendants are going to outnumber the stars. All right, take that only son and you're going to go sacrifice him. It didn't make sense. But yet, Abraham stepped out in faith. How many of you have heard that phrase, step out in faith? That requires stepping, doesn't it? Some of us like to believe and just sit at home and believe to ourselves. And God can do that. God can still work miracles. He can still honor that faith and that belief. But faith also takes action. And God rewards us when we take steps of faith and acting and praying. Praying is a thing. Praying is a step of faith. When our prayers, first of all, praying is an action. It's not inactive. It is powerful and it is active. And the way our prayers are, the types of prayers we pray, as we said earlier, shows us the size of faith that we have on this issue. Some people are so focused on the problem, they're so focused on the issue, they can't even see the answer. They are paralyzed by this fear or this unknown, and they don't take those steps. The blind man didn't focus on what they couldn't do, but what they could do. They could have lived in shame. They could have admitted defeat. Oh, well, I guess we're blind. But they said, no, we can't see. We can't see, but we can hear. We can yell and we can scream. We can walk. We can follow Jesus to where he is. You know this morning what you can't do. You know your limitations. Focus on what you can do. You can't pay your bills today. You can keep seeking Jesus. You can be obedient with your money. You can sell everything but your kids and raise money and save. You can change. You can't change your spouse, But you can love them for who they are. You can believe for a miracle, and you can be the best example you can for Christ in your relationship. You can't heal cancer. You can change your diet. You can get the best doctor that you know. You can get your small group to pray and surround you with prayer. You could ask the elders to anoint you with oil. You can't solve your burden for human trafficking or for the unborn or for underprivileged kids. You can't do everything, but you can do something. You can believe big. You can start small. You can take actions and you can pray. Your prayers is something that you can do. Most of you don't know this, but Bethany and I have been believing big in our lives right now. Bethany is pregnant with our second child, baby girl. And we went to her 13-week ultrasound. And after the ultrasound, we could hear the heartbeat and we could see the baby moving around in there. And the doctor came in afterwards for the recap and sat us down and he said, things don't look normal. And they found, there's supposed to be fluid at the back of the baby's neck for their development. It's supposed to be around 3 millimeters, and our baby is around 14.3 millimeters. And they said that it usually is a sign of a genetic defect, and it could be one of many different genetic defects in the baby's body, in the chromosomes. And they also said that there is something called a cystic hygroma. You don't have to write that down. A cystic hygroma, which stretched from the top of the baby's head all the way down to the base of its spine. And this is the real issue because they were surprised, they said, to even hear the baby's heartbeat when they went into the ultrasound. And so we've been dealing with this for a couple weeks now and praying. And it's something that we need to have faith in our own lives. And we've just this weekend began sharing it with our extended family. And we thought it was time to share it with you. We covet your prayers and your faith in this. But we're at a place where we can't do anything. We can only wait. And we can only trust. There was a test. Bethany had blood work done because of the issues, and it came back that there's a high probability that our baby has Down syndrome. That's the diagnosis that they gave. And that's fine. There are babies that, there are people that go on to live very productive lives with Down syndrome. And so the real prayer focus is this hygroma, because that threatens the baby's life. It is something that if they were born with this said hygroma, there could be lots of cosmic surgery required, and the baby would be very unhealthy, as well as the Down syndrome presents very different health issues, heart issues for the baby as well. But we're believing that God can reverse every little bit. And throughout the men's conference last weekend, I really was just praying a prayer of surrender and praying a prayer. And I really felt God speaking to me as we had just come off a series on praying God's will, praying the Lord's will. And I really just felt that that's what we should be praying. And so I want to encourage you and instruct you as you pray for us as well. Pray for the health of our unborn child. Pray for this little girl. And pray for God's power. What he really spoke to me was pray bold prayers, expect healing, but ultimately accept God's will. And that doesn't mean we have doubts that God can't do it, but that means we need to pray bold prayers that challenge us, that challenge our faith to believe for the impossible and ultimately accept God's will. We can't see it, but yet we believe. Nothing's changed. We went back again and the same thing, same diagnosis, same picture on the screen. And yet we believe and we persist. It doesn't make sense. Emmett was a textbook pregnancy. Everything that could go right was right and normal and fine. Doesn't make sense, but yet we believe, yet we persist. And we know that we serve a God who came here and died for that healing that we pray for and we seek now. We serve a God who created the universe and created that beautiful body that is growing inside of Bethany right now. My only request to you is don't go like swarm Bethany downstairs, okay? She's still your kid's pastor and has to teach today, and so her composure is necessary to that. So just use wisdom when doing that. But we covet your prayers. We ask that you join together with us during this time. And just speak that. But we need those prayers too. And I want you guys to be understanding of that. Bethany and I need to have this same faith that we're talking about today. A prayer that persists when nothing changes. A prayer that believes when we can't see the end result. A prayer that prays and has faith even when things don't make sense. You need it. I need it. We need to believe together. The Bible says that James says, faith without works is dead. And that's the second part. Because it doesn't say, works without faith is dead. Faith comes first. Faith is the foundation, the pillar. But works are expected as well. God requires us to take a step of faith, to walk out our faith, whether that means in just praying and believing. Maybe that means, as we said earlier, loving your spouse for who they are. This is a step that you can take that shows where your faith is. Do you understand? Your works don't save you. Your works don't allow the miracle. Your faith does. The works come alongside it and show God, hey, they're walking what they're talking. They're acting in this way because they know that God is faithful. Let your prayers for your situation, for your issues, or for someone else's, let them reflect. Let your prayers be bold and reflect the faith that you have inside. Faith that is so strong that it imitates Rack, Shack, and Benny. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said that, I believe that our God can free us from this furnace. But even if he doesn't, we will still believe. If this is our demise, if this is our end, if nothing changes, God is still good. God is still powerful. My faith will not be shaken because of this. God is still good, even in the midst of the trial. His will be done. Our faith is not in our faith alone. Our faith is not in our works. Our faith is not even in the desired outcome. Our faith is in the faithfulness of God. Our faith is in the fact that we serve a God whose ways are higher than our ways, whose thoughts I cannot comprehend, who is good through and through, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and always present. My faith is in that God, and I know that he will provide. I know that he provides healing, he provides peace, and he provides comfort, and his will, his peace will never end. Even if God chooses not to heal, I still have faith. I still trust because I know that God is good. That is the kind of faith that God honors today. This morning, I want to challenge you to pray big prayers. God says, give me a good one. Give me something that's really going to push me. Don't pray little prayers. Pray big prayers in your own time. Not that anything can really push God because he's all powerful. But that just, in our minds, Pray for something challenging. In our minds, pray for something that needs only divine intervention. Get a prayer like that and pray for that in your prayer life. Let your prayers reflect the faith that is inside of you. You bow your heads with me. Actually, no, don't bow your heads. Never mind. Put your heads back up. We're going to pray today, and we're going to close, and we're going to believe for healing. We're going to believe with a big faith because we believe in a powerful God. And so because there are so many of us, I'm sure, that need healing, that know a need, that have a big prayer, if that's you and you have a big prayer, if you need God to intervene on your behalf, just stand up where you're at. So we're going to pray today in faith. Maybe you're this morning, someone or that prayer request is not here present. You can stand in the gap for them as well. So this morning, if you need a prayer, if you have a prayer request that needs a miracle, if you have something that only God can do, go ahead and stand. And we're going to have believers from all over this church, priests of the Most High God, come and lay hands on you. And we're just going to pray, and we're going to believe. And we're going to have faith that believes even if nothing changes. We're going to have a faith that persists and believes even when there's no solution or no end in sight, that we serve a God who is bigger than us. And then we're going to go from here, and we're going to take action. And we're going to see how God honors that. We're not going to take action hoping that those actions will take care of it, but out of the faith that we already have. Our faith comes first, and our actions spring from that. If those of you who are not standing, just go ahead and gather around those that need prayer today. And we're just going to believe together and pray for healing. Father, your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and your ways are higher than our ways. So, Father, we come before you today and we stand confident and firm in the fact that you are good, you are almighty, and that you can bring healing where there seems to be impossible. Father, we give thanks in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this battle, in the midst of this issue. Lord, in our relationships, in our minds, in our physical body. Father, we trust we're going to get your attention today. Lord, that we move your heart in having immovable faith, that even if things don't change, even if there is a result we don't desire, Father, you are still on the throne. You are still good, and we trust you through it all. Lord, in the end, let your will be done, because we submit to that today. But Father, we believe that we can move your heart, we can move your desires, and that you are not an inactive God. But you are powerful, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Father, help us to take those steps of faith as well in our own prayer life, in decisions that we can make, in things that we can control, steps that we can make, Lord, let it reflect the faith that we have on the inside. Lord, for others, for our own situations, Father, we believe that you can do mightily and abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it. In your mighty power, we pray. In Jesus' name.